Hello everyone, welcome to Epizoda podcast. We want to show you what kind of companies we have in the UAE region, inspire you with the great business stories, and introduce you to the cutting-edge technology. A little disclaimer, today's episode is an extract from the video interview, so for the best experience and better context, you can watch the full episode on our YouTube channel. And now, let's jump to the episode.
Its vision is to make Dubai into a cycle-friendly city.
It's a big vibe and hype right now about electrified vehicles. And today, our episode is going to be all about it. We in Dubai, in Sustainable City, and visiting one motor company. I'm going to meet Adam. I'm going to find out what are they working on, and maybe they're going to shine a light more about this industry. So let's go and check it out. All right, Adam, that was really nice ride.
Thanks a lot. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's an interesting experience. You feel the power in the slight pedaling and then the bike just want to push forward.
I'm really glad you enjoyed it. Thanks.
Yeah. If we can kind of circle back to your maybe story, how did you end up in UAE, in Dubai itself? And of course, how did you start at One Motor?
Yeah, so the story of how I came here, my uncle used to live in Dubai, but he was like my older brother in and that mentor. So anything he said, I listened to, just growing up, respecting him. And he was living in Dubai and he said, you've got to move to Dubai. Like the lifestyle, the people, the opportunities, it's just positive. And I was working in TV in London and I was a little bit stagnant. I loved what I did, but it was a bit grey. And, I travelled when I was younger, lived in Ireland and the States. So I just wanted that next adventure. So that brought me out here. And then what kept me here was exactly what he said Dubai was. And it's the opportunities, not just those that you create yourself, but it's that positive environment where you can create opportunities for others. But coming from a TV background and a media in general, I got a job with a TV production company here. And then I was doing freelance presenting and award ceremonies and little gigs here and there. The next decade was working with some great big clients, some multinational traveling the world, but then also working with the smaller startups because, I know what it's like to be a startup and be that founder. You need the support. And it was, a tremendous amount of creativity that went into it. Or 12 years later, another opportunity came by and I thought, am I going to do the same thing for the next 10 years or am I going to do something that makes a difference? And the catalyst was becoming a father, being a lot more socially and environmentally aware of what's going on and being an absolute passionate fan of David Attenborough. You listen to what he says, right? My wife and us as a family are more sustainably focused and it's, sort of one step at a time. You try and do as much as you can. I realised there was an opportunity for electric bikes and especially in electric delivery bikes, the industry being a rider. And it was just that light bulb moment of a few things coming together, realising there's a problem, knowing that there's also a solution. I want to be a part of that.
So how come it came, decided you saw something, you travel, because it's you are from the media. It's a totally shift.
It is very different. And I get asked this a lot. And you think, where's the validation of how can you do this if you don't come from that background? But there's certain massive leaders in business of big organisations that don't come from that background, but it's the application of your experience or wisdom, knowledge, and obviously mindset, the network that you've got, and you bring the right people together. So being a rider and riding on the roads every single day for, 13 years that I've been here, or most days for 13 years, you see that these riders, especially delivery riders, there's 15,000 on the road in Dubai, and you see these squared off tires, these baggy chains, they make a tremendous amount of noise. And this is going back now 5 years or so. And I thought, I wonder if anyone's done them electric. Because Tesla was sort of coming to the market over here. There was rumors about XYZ, in the development.
It was not trendy that much now everybody talking about electrified and everything.
Absolutely. And then because of the customers that we were working with my other business, it was very F&B, hospitality, retail, video content, branding. Okay. The rise of Talabat, Kareem, the Uber Eats, when they were here, you got Deliveroo. So I just saw this and I thought there's a tremendous potential of that last mile delivery, not just for food, but products, groceries, and so on. that I just did some research of what the opportunities were here. Then I worked very closely with some of the guys at Careem and said, look, from a delivery bike, just hypothetically, if there was to be an electric delivery bike, what do you need? So they gave us all the sort of ingredients of considerations. And then we went to town with the R&D department in the UK at the time, here, some collaborative efforts with other industry experts, engineers and so on. We thought, can we do this? Yes, it's a viable opportunity. Let's start. So we did.
Okay, so you kind of collected all information from the market. This is growing. This is the challenge.
There was a lot of risk as well, because, you know, you can do the market research, but then is there an actual market? So you just got to go and speak to the clients, speak to the customers that are going to be buying a product or using a product. And when you start looking at, you know, all of this positivity, you then start asking those that you don't know, those strangers, because they're going to be more real with you. And like, what do you need? So we thought, if they're telling us what they need, how do we build a bike that's the most high performing from technical performance right across the board, leading the way with technology? We won't get superseded by technology. How can we encompass that together? And then coming from the riding side, the engineers, designers, we sort of packaged this delivery bike together, and then took 18 months to get the certifications here. Although all of our bikes are registered to the EEC, so the European standards, it was how can we put this bike into the market, working really closely with the governments to then really make a difference. So the problems that we address is the environment, the profitability, whether it be from the operators, from government side, or for the riders themselves. So you've got that, and then you've got the safety element, which is incredibly important, more of an emotional importance to me, and then that's mirrored by some of the companies that work in the industry.
Where do you need to start? Like, even if it was, by the time, was not popular, you look for like suppliers who can create that bike, or
an old business partner in the UK did a lot of the research, trying to find the manufacturers, assembly, and obviously all the certifications go with it. Just make sure that the partners that we choose are the very, very best. And we did that, and we signed the contract, so they produce the vehicles exclusively for us. Originally, I wanted to build the vehicles in Dubai, but the infrastructure wasn't there. The incentives weren't there, and so on. So we looked at Asia. We looked at various different places, Europe as well, of how can we create these bikes. And we thought, let's do it in two phases. And you've always got the dream. And if you look at some of the big EV manufacturers that have got the hundreds of million valuation, we don't have that. Yeah. We didn't have that at the start. But we thought, how can we be different? So let's build product. Let's get into the market. Let's get the sales. Let's get the revenue in. Let's prove that these vehicles are in demand, and then go for the valuation and the expansion. So phase two, which we're currently in now, is raising a pre-series A, which is $10 million at a $60 million valuation, to actually start assembly locally. We've done the research. We've met with loads of different partners, suppliers, to be able to build 100% in the UAE.
In UAE?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you create the kind of the model itself, or it was like existing models and you adapt?
So there's a combination. You look at what works, whether it's sort of the frame, the technology and so on, and then you make your revisions and enhancements from there. And then with the vehicles that we're going to be manufacturing here, we've got the designer and engineer, and it's a 3-in-1 motorcycle to start off with. It's fascinating because there's so much more when you're on hand here as opposed to how it was with the first range of vehicles. We're using 3D printed recycled materials to enhance the sustainability efforts. There's so much that we're doing that we have a lot more control of here. And doing the research and having that UAE locally produced, like the first EVs that are locally produced here. Hopefully the plan is to put the UAE on the map for export. It's not really known for trade tremendously over the years, but not really manufacturing and export. But in terms of electric vehicles and that modern smart city, you know, the infrastructure of the future and sustainability, we're really hoping that we can be that sort of that pioneer, if you like.
Okay, so that's the plan.
Yeah.
And if we're talking about, let's say, one motor mission right now, what do you guys do? I think you mentioned that biggest percentage is B2B and the rest is B2C.
Yeah, so with the delivery bikes, There's 15,000 in Dubai, and they're sort of the figures that we bounce around when you look at the environmental impact, the cost, the profitability impact, and so on. And Dubai was really chosen as our beachhead market to launch in, because, you know, you're only 20 minutes away from any meeting that you need to have here. And that's part of the beauty, but also that hyper growth market of food delivery and sort of the commerce and last mile in general. We thought, let's build the market with what we have, and then start expanding. We had a plan to launch in 4 territories by the end of this year. We've launched in 21 territories, and we've just announced India. We've got another big announcement for Australasia as well coming up soon. We're in conversations with Ethiopia, Ghana, Egypt, Saudi, UK, Portugal, Luxembourg. So there's quite a few territories that, as one motto, when I said about the antiquated form of dealerships and distribution, we've done something very different. We've created this franchise opportunity. The dealerships, sub-dealers and distributors can take one motto as a whole. So we have flagship stores in every territory and city we operate. But then 90% of our market, to really make that massive difference to the environmental side, is B2B.
So in all those regions that you mentioned, so the main goal now is to kind of feed the market with electrical bikes for the delivery, for the food delivery or any other services?
So the 15,000 delivery bikes on the roads, they produce more CO2 and hydrocarbons and carbon monoxide. And in their first year of life, so a brand new petrol bike, in first year of life, are 16 times more harmful to the environment than an SUV or a bus. So under an aeroplane, cruise liner, motorcycles are a third, which is shocking. Motorcycles produce less CO2, but way more hydrocarbons, thousands of times more hydrocarbons. And if you take those 15,000 in 1 year, it's the same as 273,000 trees grown for 10 years to absorb that amount of CO2. And that's the lesser of the toxins. You know, 273,000 trees, what does that look like? Is 21,000 acres. And that's 21,000 acres, that's just 15,000 bikes, 42 times the size of downtown Dubai.
That's a year.
Per year. That's a pretty big landscape. And it's a lot, but it's only 15,000. You take that to India, there's 37 million. Pakistan, 20 million. UK, 1.1. A million in Africa. Sort of a devastating amount of harm to the environment. That's only motorcycles. So we can't make that massive solution to everyone, but we can really solve something that hasn't been addressed by anyone else. So that's our niche, our focus, and where we know we can really make a difference.
Okay, so this is environmental impact. What about, let's say, cost? Because businesses still, they're going to look at the cost.
40% of the customers that we speak to have an environmental agenda or a sustainability mandate of some sort. Whether it's spoken about and actioned on, or it's in their mind, or they want to do it, it's a nice to have but not needed. That's an evolution, and we can't control that. But the nice thing is, it's 40%, whereas a few years ago, 0%. Whereas every single person we speak to have a profitability mandate. And in a hyper-growth, hyper-competitive market like last mile delivery, food delivery aggregators and so on, the profitability is paramount importance. The main sort of cost savings are service and maintenance and fuel. And fuel over the past 4 months have been increased. That affects the rider. You know, how are the operators going to manage that? And one of our partners, Jamiro, Sarood Hospitality with Noodle House, they announced in the press that they're saving 15,000 dirhams per year per bike. Within the first year on the CapEx model of buying a bike, first year the bike's paid for itself and, you know, it's profit there on out. And so that's a tremendous testament and testimonial for us and what we're saying and what we're doing. So the cost savings from going over a 3-year period, even though our vehicles are sort of 5 to 10 year lifespan, a petrol bike is 2 to 3. Okay. And I think the RTA cap it at 4. They won't register after 4 years. If you look at the over a 3-year lifespan, to be sort of generous to the petrol and less generous to us, but make it more comparable, you're looking at a 74% cost saving over that 3-year period. That then makes that last mile industry profitable. There's not a single thing that anyone could do in their business that could have more of a dramatic impact on the bottom line profits. And then we look at the safety, which is something that, as I said, is emotionally connected to me. the rider's welfare is it needs to be addressed, to be polite. And I spent a week on the road as a delivery rider to really understand and get to know these riders and have these personal one-on-one chats. How are they? To find out in terms of the working environment. One, to obviously test our bikes as well and continue that, but also get to know the riders and the guys that are going to be using them every day. All of our vehicles have this built-in telemetry. So it's telemetry and the telematics. It basically connects data from the bike reads and the rider and the APIs through the mobile phone and so on to optimize routes, find out if the riders be driving behavior, riding style. You know, it's real-time data, but say over a month, we can identify that these 100 riders are very aggressive in their riding style. Why is that? When you evaluate it and work with the governments and the operators, we can say, well, they're under a tremendous amount of pressure because they've got quite a long zone reach.
Okay.
Whereas if we shorten that down, put another rider there and just optimize those routes.
So locations where they could stay, wait or operate.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's in line with what the government and the RTA are implementing in their policy change. When it comes to delivery riders, you know, in the heat of the summer or the heights of Ramadan or just those long working hours, there are going to be accidents because they're on the road so much, they're concentrating so much. But alongside that, there's that safety element that us as drivers, car drivers, just need to be more respectful on the roads.
Your e-bike technology, you said you can collect the data. Can you elaborate more about it?
Everything we do is in phases. So the first phase, we've got the app, which is for customers, private users, and also for the fleet. But if we go into what's of importance to the fleet operators, you've got the route optimization. So we see the routes that the riders have traveled and then where those hotspots are. That then measures with the operator's app as well to basically work out how we can zone them effectively. Then you have the data from the bike itself in terms of how many green kilometers you've traveled, like the pollutant or the toxic pollutant offsets. You've got the, are they speeding? Where are they speeding? So that data, some of it's important for the governments to acknowledge and then basically make policy changes according to the data that they have. Then you've got the riders as well, so we can reward the riders for being safe. There's loads. There's about 30 or 40 things that it can do. It's just who that data is important to. We feed it to them.
Okay. Because I'm trying to understand, let's say, the benefits comparing electric bike, comparing with now existing fleet that they're using, you know.
Yeah.
What would be your pitch if you would come, well, this is your existing and this is my solution and that's the benefits.
So with, it's a lovely question actually, because with a petrol bike, you buy it from one of the three main manufacturers or OEMs over here. And then you have to get the delivery box on the top. Then the telemetry, most of them don't have telemetry because it's a retrofit and it's a cost that no one necessarily wants to pay for, but it is valuable to their business. So we just include all that. Everything is a one package with everything.
Okay.
Then the nice thing about modern technology, whether it be, you know, the car that you drive, but especially with the EVs and the cars that are being built now, you have these upgrades, so the software upgrades. One of the reasons why we have called ourselves OneMoto is we've got 105 parts in this bike. There's 4,000 parts in a petrol motorcycle of, you know, equivalent. And we believe that you can replace any of those parts, so very inexpensively because it's direct with us, and very efficiently and quickly and timely. And we'll take care of the recycling of absolutely every one of those parts. But you can then replace those parts to end up with a brand new vehicle, in essence. So you only ever need one moto, which then creates generational loyalty. And especially in other parts of the world where, you know, you'd have a motorbike and you pass it to from like a grandson to a father to a son to a nephew and so on. That sort of chain of generational loyalty, if you know that you're passing on something that's new, it's still as sustainable and environmentally friendly as it was from the day it came off the production line. That level of sort of technology and those software upgrades,
yeah,
you know, it's exciting. It feels like a new vehicle again. You don't need to have this aftermarket of cars that or bikes that get scrapped. If you actually do it, you know, sort of cleverly with thought and you create this culture of one moto for life,
okay,
then you only need one moto, right?
Got it.
That's the plan.
Interesting, nice. What's the difference in the price range what they're purchasing now, motorcycles, and then how much they need to invest. And obviously, you said like in the 1 year, they're saving what, 15,000?
If we go calculations on fleet operators, because you know anyone that's watching this and they know that their fleet is costing them a fortune every month. We've done calculations that for 500 bikes, that the operators are paying 215,000 dirhams a month in maintenance and servicing and 265,000 dirhams a month in fuel.
Okay.
That's just on 500 bikes. So it's nearly 500,000 dirhams a month. And that's before the last price increase. But we'll take it from like last month. That is incredibly expensive, just as an operational asset. If you look at the direct purchase, in fact, let's do it over 1 year. So our bike, the delivery bike, Biker, is 14,950 dirhams. With that comes the telemetry and the box. If you take a petrol bike, and I'm saying you're buying one, you get a discount if you buy more, right? But one, you're looking at around 7,500 dirhams. Then it's 1,500 dirhams for the box, takes it up to 9. Then you're looking at the fuel, 350 to 450 dirhams a month. And then you start sort of multiplying the servicing, sort of 4,000 dirhams a year in terms of service and maintenance and parts. So you look at that entire cost and it's around 26,000 dirhams per year for a petrol bike. And it's still only 14,950 for an electric one. Times that over 3 years, it's about 65,000 dirhams for petrol, whereas it's only 16,000 dirhams for electric. It's a tremendous cost saving. So anyone that has that cost saving idealism or mandate, it's just a no-brainer.
E-vehicle future, what's going to happen in UAE? Are we all going to jump on the e-bikes?
Hopefully, because the vision of Sheikh Hamdan and various other private individuals as well, it's about making Dubai comfortable with being a cycle-friendly city, two-wheel mobility. And there's a lot of stigma around the scooters and, the training and the education, the safety. And there's a huge transition that we're going through with the forms of micro-mobility. There will be that switch. The supply of, say, competitive price points, but also the range of vehicles that are going to be available to the market. But also, there needs to be the incentive on how those vehicles are purchased or paid for. We can all visualize where it's going and where we'd like it to be, but the journey to get there is going to be very sticky. There'll be bottlenecks here and there, but it's happened elsewhere, which is nice because the UAE can look at other parts of the world. How have they done it? What's worked? What hasn't? And then start following suit. But it needs to be progressive and actioned.
Yeah. All right. Nice. Thank you. Thank you for sharing all the information.
Thank you very much.
Lovely talking with you.
Pleasure.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe and follow us wherever you're listening to this podcast. Also, check out our Episode Up YouTube channel to get the best show experience. Be inspired, get ideas, learn from business mistakes, and discover the United Arab Emirates business community. Thank you so much, and till the next episode.